93 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Israel has ordered more than a million people in northern Gaza to evacuate to the south in advance of an expected ground offensive.
1 week after Israel suffered its deadliest ever day of attacks, it's continuing its heavy bombardment of Gaza, saying it aims to eradicate the Islamist militant group Hamas, which governs there. The Israeli military says it killed a senior Hamas commander in an airstrike. He's said to have played a prominent role in last week's attacks. With preparations laid for a ground invasion, the Israeli military says its forces have already carried out limited raids inside Gaza and recovered the bodies of some of the dozens of Israeli hostages taken by Hamas.
That's the BBC's Yolanda Nell reporting. Steps are being taken to temporarily refreeze Iranian assets after the Hamas attack on Israel.
The U.S. and Qatar have reached an agreement that blocks Iran's government from accessing $6 billion in Iranian funds that were unblocked as part of a prisoner swap last month. It stopped short of fully refreezing the Iranian money. Republicans have criticized the Biden administration's deal with Iran, which is a major sponsor of Hamas.
That is correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer leading a delegation to Israel this weekend. House Republicans have left D.C. for the weekend with a nominee, but still no speaker.
Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan from Ohio won the Republican nomination to lead the U.S. House of Representatives on Friday. Jordan is facing stiff resistance to be elected speaker on the House floor, thanks to the same math problem that doomed the bid of Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who initially won the Republican speaker nomination, but quit the race abruptly Thursday evening after facing a hardened block of opposition. Following his nomination, Jordan sent the conference home, ensuring the House would remain without a leader until Monday. Edwin Mora, Washington.
More from townhall.com.
Dr. Gorka here, and I want to talk to you for a minute about 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I've been taking Relief Factor for years now to help me deal with pain in my body. My wife takes it as well. The reason we tell everyone we know about it is simple. We found it really works to help our bodies fight off the inflammation that causes aches and pains. Whether it's the pain of injuries you've sustained or just the natural pains from the mileage over the years, Relief Factor can help. I've never looked back. Almost 70% of the more than 500,000 people who have tried Relief Factor end up ordering more. That's because it works for them the way it works for me. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? Your first step to becoming pain-free should be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Feel the difference.
Best Buy says goodbye to DVDs.
The consumer electronics retailer plans to phase out its DVD and Blu-ray sales by early 2024, with physical movies set to be sold in stores and online as they are today through the holidays. Video games will not be impacted. Best Buy said that the way consumers watch movies and TV today is much different than it was decades ago. Keith Peters reporting.
The Biden administration has selected clean energy projects from Pennsylvania to California for a $7 billion program to kickstart development. The president spoke about the program yesterday in Philadelphia.
Hydrogen can power industries like the production of steel and aluminum. It can transfer, and it's going to end up changing our transportation system, like trucks, rail, planes.
And the president called hydrogen essential to achieving his vision of a strong, clean energy economy and net zero greenhouse gas emissions. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. An Idaho bathroom law will go into effect while a court challenge plays out.
A chief U.S. district judge denied a request to keep the law restricting which bathrooms transgender students can use in schools from being enforced until the lawsuit's resolved. The judge said the plaintiff failed to meet a burden showing their constitutional challenge would succeed. The law prohibits transgender students from using restrooms and locker rooms that align with their gender identity. Other students can sue their school if they encounter a student using a bathroom that does not align with their sex assigned at birth. Rhonda Rockstra reporting.
A NASA spacecraft has begun a 6-year journey to a rare asteroid. SpaceX launched the Psyche spacecraft from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. the spacecraft name for the metal-rich asteroid it's chasing, which scientists believe is a battered remnants of a planet's iron core. It's the first time anybody has explored a world with a metal surface. You'll find more of these stories at townhall.com.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs around 50, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Upper 40s Monday. Low 50s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 50 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 51 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frobley, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 41.
I fish, I hunt, and always will. Broadcasting from the Eau Claire Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network. By demand, watching this on YouTube, along with Dan Amundson right over there. Dan, what's up?
Hey.
And David Eckhart in the combine.
Going today.
Well, he's there.
Okay, good. I have a feeling. So we've had internet problems today, and we've got some sound issues today. We're going to get through this show, I promise. We'll have some good stuff for you, but we might have some weird noises coming out of your speakers today. We apologize for that, but... All right.
We'll start with a combine.
We'll talk about the harvest with David here in just a little bit. We've also got Scott Ramhelt. He's going to talk about the governor's pheasant opener taking place this weekend. God, I'm so excited. It's pheasant opener, Dan. I know you're just as excited as I am.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be good. Randon Olson has got a musky fishing report for us. Joe Henry is going to talk about fishing up at Lake of the Woods in the Rainy River right now. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors this week?
Live Target. Matt's a hatch at livetargetlures.com this summer or winter. Love the rattle bait for winter walleyes. Lake of the Woods tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital. Use that Live Target rattle bait there this winter. Plan a trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. You could use one there too. Book a trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. At Prairie Sportsman, we're doing some more filming this month for the new season. You could watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Well, let's get a little extra cab noise. How's the combining today, David?
It's going good. One little minor breakdown, but got everything rolling again, so we're
wrapped. All right. How's the harvest coming along? How much you got left? What are your neighbors doing? How's it looking?
A lot of beans are coming out. Rain coming, so everyone's going
100
miles an hour.
Yeah, lots of rain. The weekend looks okay. There is a chance of some rain. It sounds like lots of rain prior to the weekend. But I know pheasant hunters are anxiously awaiting the harvest details, the harvest update right now, to see what it's going to be like. And sometimes you just look for those combines when you're out there pheasant hunting too. All right, well, we'll check back in with David here in just a little bit, and we'll talk more about the harvest coming up later in the show. Give us a little look at the corn and give us a little tour of the inside of the combine there, David.
This is great radio.
I know. There's the corn.
Now, don't till that after it's done.
That's right.
In a minute here, I'll be unloading.
Have you seen any deer or pheasants or other wildlife come pouring out of there?
I have seen a lot of pheasants. Looking really good for opener.
I'll be right down. Be there in a little bit. All right. We'll check in with David again here in just a couple of minutes. But, Dan, we had a pretty interesting last week. It went interesting weekend last weekend down in Wabasha. That was a pretty neat fishing tournament.
That I've been calling it maybe the coolest fishing tournament in the world. And it's a bass fishing tournament, which that doesn't matter. It could have been a bluegill fishing tournament or a carp fishing tournament, whatever. Yeah. But it was so cool to see. So there's, 72 teams or 76 teams or something, two-person teams. So double that. Do the math in on your phone or in your head. They raised $1 million for St. Jude this year. And that's just a phenomenal feat. Forget about the fishing. Some people caught really, really big bass and some really nice bags. But $1 million for St. Jude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. And we had Joe Hall on last week. You can watch his interview on our YouTube channel. Go back and learn more about it or download the last week's podcast and check it out. Or watch Prairie Sportsman next season. We went down there and filmed it. And I did a quick Google search on other fishing tournaments, charitable fishing tournaments. And just put this in perspective. And I did it real quick, so I may have missed some. But like the Brainerd Extravaganza, it's the largest charitable ice fishing tourney in the world is what they say they are. And they raised just around $100,000 last year. They usually raise right around there $100,000, $150,000 for charity every year, which is amazing on its own. But that's $100,000. They have 10,000 people or so that take part in that tournament. There is another one in Minnesota, the Kohler Toyota ALS Fishing Tournament. This is the 27th annual last year. In 2022, they raised $265,000. It funds ALS research and resources for those fighting ALS. They've raised over $4 million in 27 years. That's pretty amazing itself. There was one down in Texas. They raised $400,000 this year. It's the 17th annual Fishing for Hope for the Hope Family Health Clinic. That's pretty good. And then there's a Blue Marlin tournament that's been going on for a while. A pretty big tournament that raised $1 million for various charities. So they kind of spread theirs out and do different things. But so this one is the largest and only bass fishing tournament for St. Jude. They've raised $6.8 million since 1999 with this. And this year they raised $1 million for the St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Congratulations to all the anglers. And man, what an event down there. The corn's coming off.
Yeah, it's good to see that.
I like it.
Don't spill.
Very nice.
I guarantee you this is the first radio show to ever have a harvest happening live on the air.
Maybe.
I guarantee it. Maybe. Who else has done this?
We're in ag country out here.
Who else has done
this? Maybe the Farm Network. They've probably done something like this before. All right. It's pheasant over this weekend. We're jacked, especially when we're seeing crops come out like that. Grouse numbers. I've gotten reports of really good grouse numbers. Fishing is going. I mean, there's a lot to do this weekend. We're filming for Prairie Sportsman, a veterans event. We got some Purple Heart recipients. They're going to do a cast and blast. They're going to go pheasant hunting this weekend and also chase some walleyes around. So we'll have a really cool story coming up for Prairie Sportsman next season. All right. We've got Scott Ramehill coming up for the Governor's Pheasant Opener. We'll tell you more about that. Also, Brandon Olson and Joe Henry on the way. And we got a brand new podcast coming, so you can subscribe to this now. Watch for this coming very, very soon. Banded birds. They're considered trophies in the waterfowl world. Hunters young and old proudly wrap them around their call lanyards or display them on the leg of a prominent mount in their house. Some casually toss them in a drawer or neglect to even check the legs of harvested birds. Regardless of your views on the symbolic value of the small piece of metal, the numbers inscribed hold a wealth of information that's vital to the longevity of various waterfowl species and the regulations those of us that hunt them have to follow. While I've been able to collect a few bands over the years, I enjoy learning more about the research that comes from these bands. Most of the time, the data comes after the bird has died, usually at the hands of a hunter, who then has a great story to tell.
Oh, nice!
I've been a part of some of those good stories, and I've heard some even better ones, some more unbelievable than the next. It made me want to find out, what's the craziest band story out there?
I was fishing and dropped a minnow, went to pick it up, and there it was, just sitting there. It found me.
When you looked down, did you know it was a band?
Yeah, you could tell the shape was just like a curled band, you know?
Anytime you get around an area where some banding takes place, you're bound to run across some shiny leg bands. But this one wasn't shiny at all. This band was from 1986.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, it's probably one of the rarest bands that I've ever seen, just because I don't think I ever will ever meet anybody else that has one.
Hello, this is Gene.
My name is Brett Amundson. I've got kind of a weird question for you.
We called the phone number, and the dude's like, oh, cheerio, mate. And he's like, oh, yeah, you shot one of my birds, and that bird flies down to Baghdad and back.
You guys pioneered the banding process, and then you had to prove to them that you guys knew what you were doing.
You are 100% right there.
The immigration from the state, so the timing of the birds leaving the state. Last year, the birds that we marked in far northern Minnesota left at a very similar time to the birds that we marked in far southern Minnesota.
Be holding that bird after the buddy shot it back at the goose lodge. But yeah,
that's crazy. So you knew that bird pretty well.
Yeah, that was when I was intimate with. Like I said, it was close to camp, and I had to hike around there on almost a daily basis.
It's one of these stories that I share, whether it's to elementary school kids or seasoned professionals, academics. Sort of, you can just see the jaw drop.
Hunting season started, and you could just see them just cinch in onto those close zones, you know, and just move, completely change their behavior, you know, just based on the hunting.
All right, if you like this podcast, make sure you leave us a review, like it, share it, subscribe to it, send it to your friends. We appreciate it. And find out more about us at NorthAmericanWaterfowl.com. This has been a Fish Hunt Forever production.
$52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Devil's Lake is legendary, and this summer has been legendary for walleyes. Don't miss out. Call Haybale Heights Campground and Resort today to book one of their modern cabins on East Bay. The cabins are furnished with a full bathroom, kitchen, and all the amenities like high-speed internet, and are clean following CDC guidelines. Staying at Haybale Heights gives you full access to a private boat launch, fish cleaning station, and beach area. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com. Plan your trip to legendary Devil's Lake today.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or maybe watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. Now, every so often, we get the world's greatest mustache on the show. Scott Ramhill joins us right now. Scott, it's quality. It's a quality mustache right there. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Brett. Good to be here.
It's a pheasant opener, man. Are you excited for this weekend?
There is no weekend during the year I get more excited about.
I'm excited about it. I'm not going to be able to make it to the Governor's Opener this year. We're actually filming some Purple Heart recipients. It's a veterans event. It's a cast and blast. They're going pheasant hunting. They're also going to do some walleye fishing. It's going to be a real neat thing. But I've been going to the Governor's Pheasant Opener for a number of years now, so I'm going to miss it this year. Scott, what am I going to miss out on?
Yeah, we're going to miss you too. We're going to be hunting in the Owatonna area, and that's just south of Minneapolis, St. Paul, about 45 minutes. It's one of those areas that people drive through to go pheasant hunting, and we're letting people know that you can stop right in Owatonna and pheasant hunt. Within 25 miles of the town, we've got over 13,000 acres of public land.
Oh, wow.
And people don't think about that. Don't imagine there's that much out there. Typical kind of formula for the pheasant opener in this event. We're going to have media tours on Friday afternoon. 4:30 on Friday, we're going to have a public land celebration. focusing on a piece of land that is expanded for public use. After that, we've got a food truck event. People can get a taste of the downtown, and we've got a band playing. So it's going to be a good time getting everybody geared up for the hunt on Saturday.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the land dedication?
Yeah, the piece that we're looking at is the Somerset Wildlife Management Area. And it originally started in 1957, I think. But the thing that's unique about it is it continued to expand over the decades. I mean, over the last 65 years. And we've had roughly 9 different partners that have been involved in those expansions. We just restored a section of prairie this last year, and it's coming on really nice. And it's only 3 miles from Owatonna, so it's easily accessible, even if you're riding a bicycle.
That's been kind of a big push recently by the DNR, is to have areas close to towns and cities where people can get outdoors.
Yeah, it definitely is. When I was a kid, I grew up in the country, and I could get on my bicycle and just ride to the neighbors and hunt. And those opportunities aren't there like they used to be. So finding public land, finding access to land that is near those population centers is important.
I think it's going to be a good opener. I don't know much about the Owatonna area, but I think it was a pretty good hatch again this year. Obviously, habitat drives numbers. So if you've got the habitat, I'm guessing people are going to find birds this weekend, Scott. I mean, I don't know what the crop situation is like over there. Here, there's some stuff out. There's still a lot of corn standing, still some beans standing. So I'm not quite sure how it's going to look yet, but there's birds to be found.
Yeah, there definitely is. As far as the harvest, we're about a week ahead of where we are. We're last year, almost a week ahead of the 5-year average. So there'll be more crop out than usual. We've probably got maybe 40% of the beans gone and about 20-30% of the corn. So there'll still be places for those birds to hide, but with the combines in the field, they're going to be moving those birds around. And we've got a good pheasant crop. We had a very tough winter. We had lots of layers of snow and ice, and there was a lot of concern about what pheasant numbers would be. But through most of the pheasant range in Minnesota, we had record dry May and Junes right during the nesting season. Yeah. And as you know, Brett, those birds are resilient.
They are, and I've seen some big broods, and then I've seen some areas where I've seen one or two or maybe even 3 broods kind of hanging out together. So it's like, oh, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's a lot of pheasants right there, a lot of young pheasants. So, obviously now they still have to grow up, and hopefully they did that. But I think it could be a decent year for hunters out there. Sometimes, as with anything else, you have to put your work in at times, and but you get a good dog and you get into some good habitat, maybe get into an area that doesn't get as hunted as hard, and you should be able to have a pretty good season, I think.
Yeah, I agree completely. And first weekend, we're going to have some of the young of the year birds that you may have to give a second look to see if it's a rooster or not. But you get through the first weekend, they're going to grow up, they're going to mature, and within a few weeks, there'd be no question. You're pointing at a rooster.
So I know a couple of years ago, I don't know if it was a product of COVID or just a product of where we were and the fact that there were food trucks available there, but I think the food truck deal became part of the governor's pheasant opener. Is that just going to be a thing now, just doing food trucks all the time? Or does it just happen to be another area where there were food trucks available?
Yeah, that's a great question. We went away from the banquet, you said, because of the COVID thing and just spacing people out. But food trucks are kind of a new thing in rural Minnesota. They've been in the metro areas for quite a while, but gaining popularity out here. And so it's a way to show something unique about the community rather than having one caterer. People can take advantage of lots of different types of food. I think we're going to have 11 different food trucks. So it'd be a lot of fun.
Hmm. All right, and who's the band?
It's the Red Dirt Road Band. They play all sorts of different country music, very popular in the area, and I think they're going to draw a crowd.
All right, so Owatonna, I'm sure you've heard it from a few people. You kind of alluded to it at the beginning there. You don't always think of that as a pheasant destination. And I know Dan Ryder is very disappointed that I'm not coming because he is very partial to that area. When people say, hey, well, Owatonna, what the heck? What do you tell them?
Yeah, it believe it or not, we're getting that a lot. Leave Lakeville, they hit the cruise control, and they're doing 75 miles an hour past Owatonna. And people don't realize, looking from the interstate, just how much public land that we have, how much opportunity there is. As I said earlier, we've got over 13,000 acres of public land within 25 miles. So that's a lot of land to hunt.
Yeah, and that is good. And and that's kind of what this event is about. Obviously, it's highlighting pheasant hunting, but it's also going to put the spotlight on some areas where, you know, you don't, especially if you live in the Twin Cities, you don't have to drive out to Southwest Minnesota, you know, every weekend just to chase pheasants around. There's opportunities closer to home and maybe some areas. I remember when the opener, I think it was it the Albert Lee opener? I think, or one of the other openers down there, I can't remember what it was, but we weren't in southwestern Minnesota, and I was like, well, we'll see how it goes. And I don't know, there were four or five of us hunting that day, I think, and we were on a pretty nice piece of private land, actually, but we shot a limit of birds, you know, and we shot them pretty quickly that morning, too, and I was kind of surprised. Like, I didn't really think of that part of the state as a place to go shoot pheasants. So you don't have to go into the traditional pheasant country, pheasant range, to shoot some birds.
No, you certainly don't, and that was Austin in 2019, and this event is in my personal backyard. This is where I hunt public land. I tell you what, we shoot a lot of birds, and it may take just a tad longer to do it, but I'm not driving 2 hours each way to get to western Minnesota.
Yeah, that's nice. Well, I'm surprised you're allowing them to hunt in your backyard. Like, hey, this is where I hunt. Let's go somewhere else. Come on.
Yeah, and even more so, I'm telling people my favorite spots on public land. Yeah. And, well, that may affect my hunting maybe a little bit. If we can get more people pheasant hunting, more people interested in that kind of activity, I mean, that's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're obviously a big promoter of the sport and pheasants and wildlife and getting people out there. So, no, I wouldn't expect anything different. And that's awesome that you do that. And I think it's great that we highlight pheasant hunting. People don't always think of Minnesota as a pheasant hunting state. Some days I'm okay with that. completely selfishly, of course. But we have been, I feel like, especially in recent years or fairly recently, there's been more efforts to promote pheasant hunting in the state and create habitat and make it more of a pheasant hunting destination where it makes sense in any case. And I think hunting in Minnesota can surprise people. I mean, if everybody wants to go to South Dakota or North Dakota or Iowa or whatever, feel free. But just kidding, of course. Minnesota can be pretty good.
They taste better in Minnesota, too.
That's right. Well, it's just going to keep getting better and better as the fall goes on and as more crops come out. And, good luck with everything this week. Are you going to get to hunt, Scott? Or do you got to work all weekend?
Yeah, on Saturday, I'll be making sure everybody else is doing their hunting. But come Sunday morning, I'll be out with my dogs at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, there you go. Well, good luck. Good luck with the event, of course. Good luck hunting on Sunday. Good luck to everybody else out there hunting in Minnesota, of course, and everywhere else that you're going. Scott Ramehill, I appreciate the time here on the show today.
Thanks, Brett. Good to talk to you.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com. 52 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties, all in the palm of your hand. OnX Hunt, the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Ottertail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Ottertail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Ottertail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OttertailLakesCountry.com.
Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Freeze Firewood reminds you that summer is quickly coming to an end here, and fall's right around the corner. Now, maybe you're not ready to give up on those fun summer times yet. Maybe you didn't quite get everything in that you had hoped for. Well, don't spend those beautiful fall days stacking firewood and clearing up all the mess. Let Freeze Firewood drop off your season's supply of firewood in weatherproof bulk firewood bags. No need to spend your time stacking and then cleaning up all the mess. Spend your time enjoying all that fall has to offer and grab your firewood straight out of the bag come winter. Call Freeze Firewood, 715-567-0616. 567-0616. Freeze Firewood on Little Chicago Road, Phillips.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs around 50, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Upper 40s Monday. Low 50s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range. A high of 50 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 51 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 41.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now we're going to head up to Otter Tail Lakes Country to check in with Randon Olson from Lockjaw Guide Service. Randon, it sounds like you've been chasing muskies around.
We've been doing our best. We've been doing a lot of chasing, that's for sure. But every once in a while, we catch up to one.
You've had a pretty good year, though, haven't you? Chasing those big fish?
Yeah, we've had a pretty good year. It's hard to complain, but we get one or two bad days, and that's kind of the musky fisherman in me. You wish you smacked them every day.
Right. I mean, you've been keeping track of numbers, haven't you? Didn't you catch quite a few last year? And I don't know what your pace was this year, but how's it compared?
This year, we're ahead of schedule from last year. Last year, we boated 65 muskies in between September and October. This year, we're at 24 already.
At how? At 22?
24.
24. All right. And how many of those 24 have been underbite?
Let's see. We've gotten them four times this year, I believe.
That's so awesome.
Three times in less than a week, too. So he's getting hungrier.
Wow, that's so crazy. Has he, yeah, so he was 47 and three quarters when we caught him on Prairie Sportsman. Is he still at that, right at that same length?
He's right there. You can squeeze him to a 48 if you really tried, but he's 47 and three quarters.
Wow. How old do you think that fish is?
It's got to be pretty old. She's getting more beat up every time I see her. That's probably because she keeps eating the wrong food, but
yeah,
he's sitting in that
musky baits.
But I would venture to say she's got to be 15 to 20 years old, somewhere in there.
I know we caught her, we were dragging suckers. Is that how you usually do it? Or are you catching her casting at all, or how are you doing it?
Well, we had this discussion with a friend of mine last week. We caught her back-to-back days on suckers, and then 3 days later, I caught her on a tube boat side on the figure eight.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. But we were talking about this fish. She finally tried to eat something different, and she still got hooked. She just can't win.
That's great. Now, obviously, that's been a popular fish for you, but you have a lot of different options, different lakes, chasing different muskies around in Otter Tail Lakes country up there. Have you put some big ones in the boat this year?
Biggest so far has been 49 and a half. That's a cool thing about Otter Tail County is we're an hour from probably five or six really good muskie lakes in any direction. So we got a lot of options. You can go to lakes for numbers, you can go to lakes for size, and you can kind of find a few lakes that do a little bit of both.
Now, if somebody was going to go out and do some muskie fishing, would you tell them to look for a certain structure, certain depths, water temps, majors and minors? What's the first tip you'd give them?
Fish as long as you possibly can. That's definitely
time on
definitely
the water.
Look for some green weeds and yep, time on the water. But green weeds and bait fish right now are what's the big kicker. And a lot of our fish are kind of stuck trying to transition into fall stuff. You know, we basically went from 65 degree water to 57 degree water in about 4 or 5 days. So these fish are just kind of confused right now, but they're starting to get it together and we're starting to see fish grouped up. So fall's coming.
What are you hearing about walleye fishing right now?
It was really, really good when that cold snap hit. And from what I'm hearing now, and I haven't been on chasing a walleye for a couple weeks, but from what I'm hearing, it's slowed down the last couple days. I would venture to say that's going to pick back up here in a little bit. Weather's starting to stabilize out and we're supposed to get another front Friday. So.
All right. And then how about ice fishing? You obviously take people out. You got a bunch of ice castles. When do you normally target, or what dates do you start filling in on the calendar? And do you have some openings for people?
Yeah, we'll start as soon as right around Christmas for sure for the ice castle stuff. But we'll start doing guided trips out as soon as we can get to the ice. Typically around first week of December or so, we're plenty good to take wheelers out. Get access to all the lakes we want, and that's some of the best fishing of the year.
All right. And what about do you got any openings for muskies yet this fall, or are you booked up?
We're pretty booked up until the second week of November. So if you want a chance at a real late giant, we've got a couple openings left at the end of November, but that's about it.
Have you been out there chasing muskies when you're, you know, hitting chunks of ice at the side of your lund or anything like that?
The boys at Ray's give me crap because I have to get new taillights every year because I keep backing in and the boats are frozen up. So I'll go as late as possible. It's I think it was 2 years ago. The last day I went, it took me 3 hours to get the boat in the water. I had to chisel out about 50 feet out. It wasn't that much fun.
Hey, I saw you got your boat up for sale, too. Did you find some buyer yet?
Not yet. So anybody's looking for a big, fast tiller. This puppy's ready to rock and roll. She comes ready and rock and roll and rigged up. And
you want to give us a quick summary of what it is?
Yeah. It's a 2075 Lund Pro Guide. It's got the 250 on the back, and it's not the Pro XS, so it's not real loud either. Real fuel efficient. It's got Altera. It's got a Vantage. Hummingbird's 12 and a 10. Washdown system. You know, all the kind of normal stuff that we have in boats now, onboard chargers, new batteries, all that kind of stuff. It's been a great boat. It comes as is, so it's all rigged and ready to go. Just add water.
Well, if you need anyone just to use it until you sell it, just to make, you know, keep it running, keep fluids moving through it, just let us know.
I'll bring it down after Thanksgiving.
All right, Randon, if people want to book a guided trip with you, what should they do?
Best thing to do is just give me a call at 218-640-0158. Otherwise, you can find us on Facebook or at lockjawguideservice.com.
All right, Randon Olson, thanks for the time today on the show.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Motorists should always be aware for deer, but even more right now. Hi, this is Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. Motorists are always reminded to watch for deer along roadways, even more so this time of year because juvenile animals are dispersing from their home ranges. October through December, those are the peak periods for deer vehicle accidents. Motorists are advised to slow down and exercise caution after dark to reduce the likelihood of encounters with deer. Most deer vehicle accidents occur primarily at dawn and dusk when deer are most often moving around. Motorists should be aware of warning signs signaling deer are in the area. When you see one deer cross the road, look for a second or third deer to follow. Also, pay attention on roadways posted with deer crossing area caution signs. Deer vehicle accidents are at times unavoidable. If an accident does happen, law enforcement authorities do not have to be notified if only the vehicle is damaged. However, if the accident involves personal injury or other property damage, then it must be reported. In addition, a permit is required before taking possession of a roadkill deer. Permits are free and available from game wardens and local law enforcement. A few precautions can minimize chances of injury or property damage in deer vehicle crashes. Always wear your seatbelt. Don't swerve or take the ditch to avoid hitting a deer. Try to brake as much as possible and stay on the roadway. Don't lose control of your vehicle or slam into something else to miss the deer. You actually risk less injury by hitting the deer. If you spot deer ahead, slow down immediately and honk your horn. One last note is for deer hunters to check for your license right now and don't delay. Verify the location of the deer license, the accuracy details, as soon as possible. If you can't find it now, odds are you won't be able to when the deer season begins. Duplicate license applications are available on the Game and Fish Department website. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Hunt, fish, conserve, repeat. That's the mission here at Sporting Journal Radio. And if you love the outdoors as much as we do, show it off with new wildlife-themed gear from the Sporting Journal Radio store. From hoodies to hats, coffee mugs, wildlife prints, and you can even make your phone stand out with a new case sporting some high-quality wildlife photography. Go to sportingjournalradio.com and click on store. We have a huge selection of gear with new items being added every week. Powered by Shopify, which is trusted by over 1 million businesses and offering a variety of ways to pay, including PayPal. Shop now at sportingjournalradio.com.
Did you know there are more than 1,000 lakes in Otter Tail County?
Yep, and I'm going to fish as many as I can. I'm an outdoorsy otter. Nothing beats a full day of fishing for me. The lakes of Otter Tail County give me plenty of options to lower my boat and snag the perfect catch. Not an outdoorsy otter? No problem. Otter Tail County has something for everyone. You just need to find your inner otter.
To find your inner otter, go to OtterTailLakesCountry.com. Live Target, the leader in Match the Hatch, is back with new lures that also match the action. Introducing the Live Craw. The Live Craw is irresistible to bass, walleye, and other freshwater species. FTAC's winner, the Ultimate Frog, looks and acts just like a swimming frog. With an exposed ultra point mustad hook and replaceable legs, the Ultimate Frog has two styles, two sizes, and eight colors. And iCast and FTAC's winner, the Live Shrimp, mimics a fleeing shrimp for saltwater anglers. Coming soon from Live Target. Now is the time to start thinking about chasing big walleyes on Devil's Lake. Get on the fish at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Hay Bale Heights makes it easy for you to make memories on legendary Devil's Lake with guided fishing and lodging packages. Or bring your own boat and rent one of their cabins on East Bay. Hay Bale Heights offers a private marina, fish cleaning station, and the opportunity to relax and enjoy your bucket list trip to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. To book your trip, visit haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
Northern Minnesota's Walleye Factory is a year-round world-class fishing destination. The perfect getaway this summer is just a short drive to Lake of the Woods. Fish Big Traverse Bay, the Rainy River, or visit the unique Northwest Angle. To catch big fish, you have to go where the big fish are. Plan your trip to Lake of the Woods at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. That's lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP, next to McDonald's.
Stock up and save on the toughest filters in the business during Wick's Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. Not only will you get the best deal of the season on our very best filters, but you'll also find deep discounts on oil, fluids, grease, batteries, and more. Upgrade your filters during Wick's Filters Sale Days at your local Auto Value Parts store. See store for official sale dates. Auto Value. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Here's your 98 Q Country weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected today with a chance for scattered showers. Highs around 50. Northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 36. Cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected Monday. Decreasing clouds by Tuesday. Upper 40s Monday. Low 50s by Tuesday. Another look at the short range, a high of 50 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 51 tomorrow. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly, and that's your forecast on 98 Q Country. Right now, 41.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now we're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism to see how the fall bite is going on the Rainy River in Lake of the Woods and even the Northwest Angle. Joe, how's it going?
Guys, fall is going way too fast.
It is going fast, and we still have a trip planned. Actually, Joe, we're going to come up there, and the plan is to do some layout boat hunting and do some fishing and maybe even some grouse hunting. So there's a lot of fall opportunity yet up there, Joe.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very fun. I mean, you're only coming up to one of the best, you're coming up to the best walleye fishery. You're coming to a spot where they do layout boat hunting, and you know what that's like. That's freaking epic. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I hear the grouse numbers are way up this year.
Yeah, I have heard really good reports from grouse and woodcock hunting so far. Lots of grouse far this year. So I'm anxious to go. Anxious to go. I haven't been out for a while. So, I mean, I guess we did hunt up there a little bit earlier.
That didn't count.
Yeah, we hunted for like
an
hour.
We went for a walk. Yeah, I don't know.
I was talking to a friend of mine up there, a gal that works for one of the resorts a couple of years ago. And she's like, oh, yeah, I already got, 17 grouse for the year or whatever. And the big number was. It's like 17, Yeah. And she goes, yeah, but you know what? I ground pound. Oh, yeah. I thought that was kind of funny. So I'm sure a lot of people ground pound with grouse if they could.
Well, a lot of people do, especially earlier in the year, and sometimes grouse. I mean, I go back and forth on that debate because if you're doing it for the sporting chance, you let them fly. But if you're doing it to eat, hey, as long as you're not shooting over your limit, and grouse sometimes are real dumb.
Sometimes they won't fly.
Exactly.
Yeah. They just won't.
So, but
I've had it before where you're grouse hunting and you're like, where are these darn grouse? You stand and you talk a little bit. And you look up in the tree, and they're up there looking at you.
Yeah, right. Well, and if all the leaves are still up, sometimes you have to shoot them on the ground before they fly, or else you'll never get a shot off at them. And I don't know where this guy was, but I got a report from somebody the other day, and in 2 days he had over 40 flushes. So wow. I don't know where in northern Minnesota he was, but I'm anxious. I haven't been this anxious to grouse hunt in a long time, actually. So,
and it's cool. I mean, the trails up there, one of the cool things about that area is that not only do we have literally tens of thousands of acres of public hunting land, but, it's one thing to have a huge, huge forest you can hunt in, but if you have no trails, if you have no roads, it's pretty hard. You're hunting the fringes and it's hard walking. And, the nice thing about it is, for instance, Beltrami Island State Forest is one example of many, but you got the dirt roads that go through. So some people will road hunt it. And of course, you got to know the rules on that, but you can drive around. And then, you have the walking trails. We have numerous walking trails, over 30 walking trails that, you can go up there and join. Many of them are joint efforts between the DNR and the Rough Grouse Society. And it's kind of cool. They got a sign that will show you an aerial photograph. And then they got a big orange trail going through on this photograph of where your trail is. And normally what it is, they have ample parking. And then you start there. And when you make when you start walking, you make a great big loop all the way around and end up back at your car. So it's just really some nice opportunities.
Yeah, it makes it easy, and you don't have to go back and walk through some of the same areas. And grouse like those edges, and they like that that young aspen, and they like they seem to like the trails in the open parts of the woods. So it makes things interesting, fun, get a little exercise at the same time. And, hey, man, walk for grouse a little bit, maybe jump on the lake or the river to try to catch some walleyes. That sounds like some pretty good eats right there, if you ask me.
Yeah, cast and blast is this time of year is good. You know, we're actually kind of looking forward, you know, it's kind of fun, too, looking forward to ice fishing. I mean, you know, as we speak, you can imagine the resorts and outfitters are getting fish houses all primed up. Some are bringing some new houses in, getting rid of some old painting, maintenance, of course, and same with vehicles, ice rigs and stuff. And, you know, Brett, people ask, hey, when do you normally start fishing up at Lake of the Woods, ice fishing? And, you know, it's always Mother Nature in control, but on average, the resorts will start getting their day houses out on the south end of the lake about December 10th. And I'll tell you, that that first ice in December, you know, is pretty darn good. Now, you can't drive a vehicle out. That's thin ice. So what many do is the resorts have what are called light ice rigs. And oftentimes those are like a Geo Tracker or a Suzuki Samurai that'll pull a people hauler, we call them. And what they are is they're basically an enclosed great big snowmobile trailer with benches, and they got a heater in them, so they're heated. And you know, everybody gets in there with their buckets and jumps in. It's heated, and they take you out there and drop you out of the house. It's holes are grilled. It's heated. It's on the fish. And normally that December fishing is really good.
I remember when Geo Trackers came out, and then they became Chevy Trackers. But I remember when those came out, and we used to make fun of people for those things all the time. And then I started going to Lake of the Woods in the winter, and I'm like, man, there's a tracker on tracks. And then it's like, man, if you find one of those that's running well, those things are worth their weight in gold up there.
They are. Well, they're, you know, here's the thing is that, number one, they're normally not real expensive. Of course, supply and demand, they're going up in price. The more demand there is, the more we talk about them, the more expensive they get. But they're lightweight, and they're the kind of motor that a lot of mechanics can work on them. They're nothing too kittywampus, you know. So it's really perfect for a resort for this kind of light ice. And they can pull a people hauler trailer pretty darn good.
I didn't know if you were trying to pet your dog there or trying to give us a better look at that giant trophy behind you there, Joe.
Well, Tula was getting off my lap. Tula was trying to get off my lap, and I was trying to let her down without you knowing what you detected it. So there's one of my assistants right here, and you can see he's a real avid hunting dog.
Hey, speaking of awards, you just won an award with the Minnesota Tourism, Minnesota Area,
you know,
CVBs,
Minnesota nice Association. Award. I did not expect it. You know, it was MACVB stands for Minnesota Association of Convention and Visitor Bureaus, and they have what's called the Roger Toussaint Award. It's they give one award away a year. It's the most prestigious award they give. That's why they only keep it to one, and it's for somebody that, I guess, as they explained it, has done the most for Minnesota tourism, somebody who's willing to give back to, you know, newer people in tourism, volunteers in different committees, things like that. And my goodness, last week at a conference in Maple Grove, they presented me with this award. What a nice honor. I didn't expect it, you know. And you know, it's one of those things that everybody knows. I mean, it's just very, very honored, very humbled to get this from colleagues, especially. And, you know, I have to tell you, we had about 100 people there, and they're very gracious, gave me a nice standing ovation, which, of course, that, I don't know, man, getting older, get a little emotional, you know, I had to choke through my first few words, you know, I had a few tears, and I just think that, you know, everybody, you go through a lot of, I sometimes explain like a duck, right? A duck on top is nice and calm, but underneath, you're paddling like hell. And you know, sometimes you're paddling like hell, and some of that emotion might have come out. But what a nice honor! I mean, I just very cool.
So I guess the real question is, like, how much did it cost you to bribe the people that gave you that? Like, was that a lot? No, I'm
kidding. It was more than you would think.
Some
of it was money, some of it was alcohol, but you know, whatever it takes, that's part of being savvy, right?
No, you do a great job, deserving of that honor. Congratulations. Obviously, you're on this show every week for a reason, and you've been doing it for a long time, and we appreciate that. So definitely deserving of that honor. And of course, you're promoting Lake of the Woods all the time. And Joe, I think it's unfair because that's a pretty easy job. You know, Lake of the Woods is pretty easy to promote.
I kid around with my buddies and my family and stuff. I'm like, I'll tell you what, you know, if I was going to promote anything, it better be Lake of the Woods. I couldn't handle much more. I got to make it as easy as possible for myself. But, you know, last time I counted, I think we had about 68 different lodging facilities in Lake of the Woods County. If you consider resorts, hotels, Airbnbs, VRBOs, sleeper fish house businesses. I mean, there's a, and you know, you think about our diversity of our area, the Rainy River and the South Shore, and then of course the Northwest Angle. And there's a lot of mouths to feed. You know, we have a lot of families and businesses relying on tourism. And Lake of the Woods, thankfully, is such a big system of water that it can handle the people. I mean, you know, you get out there in that south end and there's a whole bunch of fish houses in the winter, but then when you go cross lake to the northwest angle, Brad, you've done it, it's like, holy smokes, there's nothing. I mean, for tens of miles, there's nothing. And those fish have plenty of safe harbors, plus, you know, parts of Canada are uninhabited, you know, with all those islands that don't have any cabins on them or anything. It's just kind of it's a neat scenario. And, you know, it's a natural resource that's, you know, all those walleyes, you know, the majority of lakes in Minnesota are stocked, right? And that's just the way it has to be. And it's awesome. But, you know, Lake of the Woods is natural reproducing. And in addition, the size of the walleyes you can get, the variety of species of lake sturgeon, eel pollock, you know, it's just kind of a cool situation that way. You know, we talk about it. You never know what you're going to catch on Lake of the Woods. Honest to goodness, every time you go out, I saw people were catching, somebody's caught a, you know, like a 16-inch crappie. Somebody just caught a big sturgeon. Yeah. They were blown off by storms, and they went out for the last couple hours of the night, and he got a, I don't know, it was between a, right around a 60-inch sturgeon. He said, grinning ear to ear. Made the whole trip. Well, that's why they drove 6 hours, you know, and you just never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, and you're fortunate that it is that big, because sometimes it's hard to be a tourism director to promote an area. Yes, please come and fish and hunt here, because that can put a lot of pressure on a place. And sometimes the locals aren't yes. always real happy with you about that. So that can be a thankless job at times. But fortunately, you are on a resource that is big enough that can, for the most part, withstand all that pressure.
It absolutely can. Yeah, it's a huge system. And you know, the other thing too is, I mean, I'm fortunate to have, you know, I'm representing a lot of really incredible, you know, resort owners and guides and things like that, and promotion. And some of these guides are so good. I mean, I talk about fishing. I got a pretty good handle on the lake. I'm a guide myself. I fish tournaments. Some of these guys are on the water every single day, and then they're on the ice every single day. You want to talk about some people, the real pros who know that system and know the yeah. tendencies and the patterns. I mean, there's some pro pros out there, and you know, my hat's off to them. I'm obviously very honored to represent that whole system. And you think about it, Brett, if we didn't have the guides, if we didn't have the full service resorts, look how many fewer people would be able to enjoy Lake of the Woods. How many people would feel comfortable boating out in that big water or yeah. going out 20 miles on the ice, you know?
Well, I'm looking forward to being out there here in just a couple of weeks. We're going to be up there and enjoy the fall at Lake of the Woods. And Joe, if people want to come up this fall or start planning a trip to Lake of the Woods this winter, what should they do?
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is a division of Macaba LLC. If you missed any part of the show and want to listen to it again, or maybe hear an extended version of some of these interviews, you can download the podcast. Go to sportingjournalradio.com, or you can watch this show on YouTube or Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.
Serving Wisconsin's beautiful Northwoods, 98Q Country is 98.3 FM WCQM Park Falls, a civic media station.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Israel has ordered more than 1 million people in northern Gaza to evacuate to the south in advance of an expected ground offensive.
1 week after Israel suffered its deadliest ever day of attacks, it's continuing its heavy bombardment of Gaza, saying it aims to eradicate the Islamist militant group Hamas, which governs there. The Israeli military says it killed a senior Hamas commander in an airstrike. He's said to have played a prominent role in last week's attacks. With preparations laid for a ground invasion, the Israeli military says its forces have already carried out limited raids inside Gaza and recovered the bodies of some of the dozens of Israeli hostages taken by Hamas.
That's the BBC's Yolanda Nell reporting. Steps are being taken to temporarily refreeze Iranian assets after the Hamas attack on Israel.
The U.S. and Qatar have reached an agreement that blocks Iran's government from accessing $6 billion in Iranian funds that were unblocked as part of a prisoner swap last month. It stopped short of fully refreezing the Iranian money. Republicans have criticized the Biden administration's deal with Iran, which is a major sponsor of Hamas.
That is correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer leading a delegation to Israel this weekend. House Republicans have left D.C. for the weekend with a nominee, but still no speaker.
Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan from Ohio won the Republican nomination to lead the U.S. House of Representatives on Friday. Jordan is facing stiff resistance to be elected speaker on the House floor, thanks to the same math problem that doomed the bid of Majority